All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going through this series. You know, really, it's actually based on seven promises of God. And what we are doing is really trying to do a kind of a spiritual checkup, as they would say. And, you know, every year, as I pointed out initially, you have wealthy folks, they go to the doctor and they examine themselves and check certain vital signs just to see where they are. And of course, if things are on the flat, then they try to fix it. And of course, the idea is fix it quickly before things get worse. Well, the same is true for our spiritual growth. And so we have a series we started. This is the third in the series. First one is about salvation. It is one of the seven promises of God. The second one was healing that God has promised for his people, the deliverance that we need. About Jesus, so he went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil, and he was, you know, rescuing the folk really at that time. By the way, yes, they were gone here, but they didn't have the privilege that I am. Yes, see, how much more you and I today can receive from God if we will apply ourselves. So I want to look tonight as we go down so much cover, but I'd like for us to research this and focus on the fact that God is our provider. In the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter, under the law of first mention, that is where you read of God being a provider. Tell the story about Abraham going to sacrifice his son, and when he got to the place, his son said to him, "Yes, you have the wood and you have the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" And he said, "God will provide." Later on, of course, that's paraphrasing the story, but what happened is there was a ram caught by its horn, picket, so it's a good sacrifice. Now I know that sacrifice son. That's exactly what it is. So in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, I'm reading from it now, Abraham called in the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. So when you hear the expression means God is the provider, this is where it was first mentioned. By the way, for the first guy, according to the law of first mention, first Bible. That is what is mentioned. They're talking about. So this is the first mention. Here, provider. Then it says 22nd chapter. And he says, and Abraham called the name of that Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, Mount of the Lord. And so the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, saying, "By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because you have done this thing, and have not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless, and in multiplying I will multiply you. And thy son will be seen as the stars of heaven, and the sand which is on the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy." By the way, there's a lot there. I just want to mention something. That is one of the reasons why the United States of America is blessed. Not because we're smarter than others. Is because God promised that person, Abraham, and his children, and the major portion of people living in the United States and Canada and Britain, English speaking nation, are from that stock. British, their combination of two Hebrew words, Brit, covenant, and Brosman, so when you say British, is the covenant people, and that is what they're the covenant. That's how they prosper. Well, purpose that it's. Now, let's press on a little more, because what does that have to do with you and I? Well, I am saying that God, remember now, he uses this expression to describe, I should say his names, describe what he does. And we're only going to focus on Jehovah Jireh in this lesson. I'm going to go a little longer this one, because I want to make sure we get the full gist of it. Too many people in the Church of God are walking in lack of enough provision. It is not that God wants them to. It is not that God is not willing to provide for them. This is one of the main reasons that that it is the will of God that above all things they are in health and prosper as their soul prospers. That's part of the challenge. Ignorance. And so the devil, who is willing to keep dark, he keeps hiding his things from it. And so it is necessary then for the church to teach on these things. I'm not going to mention it, but I want us to, in your own study, go into Leviticus 26 chapter, and you'll read about some of the promises that God has made. Now, I know you always have some promises. Well, that's what he did to the Israel. Well, remember, Israel was the guinea pig. They were the type, but God's purpose is that this should be available to all of mankind. Yes, I know all people want to see what he does. A copy of the Bible, let alone a copy of the Bible. So you see, it's not going to worldwide until just copy and set up. And then he's going to bind the devil and his demons, and he's going to
survive.
Yes, sir.
Your audio going in and out.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, but as you talk, it kind of go in and out.
All right, let me see if I change my... thank you. Thank you, Mr. Justin. Can you hear me any better?
It sounds fine.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it sounds better.
All right, okay. Now, all right, what happened is I just changed my microphone. And I want to make sure, thank you, sir, thank you. I'll make a note of that. Okay. All right, but what happened is, ladies and gentlemen, is that God has purposed that those who follow his teaching, his way of life, then he will bless them. And so there is a divine order in order to receive from the Lord. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, let me turn to it quickly. Matthew chapter 6, and in verse 20, it starts at verse 25, but in verse 33 is where the summary is, and he's making it clear, so let me turn there quickly. And it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you." Now, what are the things he's talking about? Well, you have to go back to verse 25 to follow it, where he's trying to point out that, "Behold, the fowls of the air, they do not sow, neither do they reap, yet they still live. God allowed them to exist. It is provided for them. God is taking care of them." He says, "What about the lilies in the field? They don't plant, yet they look more ordained, or I should say adorning, than Solomon in all his glory and all the different cloaks and so on that he was wearing, the clothes. And yet the lilies, they can't think, they can't move, and so on." And so he says in verse 29, "And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, in other words, it will last for a time, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall be he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So the point is this, we should have faith that God will take care of us. That is the key. I want to make sure I stress this, ladies and gentlemen, that God is more than willing to provide for his children. Now, who are his children again? Anyone who chooses to call upon him. Anyone who chooses to call upon him. All right, now let's take it a step further. Now, we want to look at some of the promises of God, because this really is a very big subject. We want to look at the promises of God. But before we go any further, ladies and gentlemen, I want to pause right here and open the floor for anyone who has any question, comment, or suggestions. Thank you. All right, let's press on. All right, thank you, sir. So what we find here, ladies and gentlemen, is that there are some promises that God has made. Now, I know for those who are listening again for the first time, they probably never hear anything of this nature, but God has given us some very precious promises. And because of these promises, we, that's you and I, can be partakers of God's divine nature. I want to zero in on something that is in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 6. All right, let's see, here I am. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who are we talking about again? God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, you can say. For he that comes to God must believe that he, talking of God, is, that God exists, and that he rewards them that diligently seek him. Now, you have some folks who, well, I think, you know, and they're not sure if they really like God. They're not sure if they really want to pursue these things. That's not diligence. That's sloppiness. You're not going to receive anything from him with that attitude. He said those who diligently seek him. Well, some don't even bother to seek him, so consequently they go without. The vast majority of the world is struggling, not because God desires for that to be the case, but because they don't know of the provisions that he has made. And so you have some people are working 7 days a week and they're still not making it, when all he said is work 6 days, and he is going to make sure that you are going to have more than enough to satisfy all your needs. Something as simple as that. And yet a lot of people fail right there. But let's press on a little more about God's promises. Because in Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 4, in verse 19, let's read it loud and clear so we get a little bit more teaching about what God is saying. He says in verse 18, first, but I have all and abound, I am full and having received of Epaphroditus. So the writer here is Paul, and he's writing a letter to the people who were at the church in Philippi. The letter is referred to as the letter to the Philippians. So that's how the book got its name. And he says in verse 18, I am full and have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. So Epaphroditus was leaving that area of Philippi, and they gave him some things and said, take this to Brother Paul. And he did. For an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So he says, it was so pleasant to me, it is like perfume, is a sweet odor, a sweet smell. That's how it was. I was so excited when you received this thing. It's like somebody gave me some perfume. Continue, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need. I want you to make note of this, folks. I'm telling any of you that is struggling, write this down and look at it. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, I have needs that he's not supplying. You hang in there and keep paying attention to him, and over time you're going to find that you're going to have more than enough. This is a promise that God who made heaven and earth, the same God who causes the sun to rise and to go to set, the same God who caused the moons to circulate around the earth, that same God has made this promise. He's going to supply all your needs. And he's more than willing. The problem, again, is people just don't know how to approach him, so they go about doing it their own way. All right, let's take it a step further, ladies and gentlemen. Because by now you should have got the idea that, as we read earlier, in order to receive from the Lord, you must walk in faith. What is faith again? Believing the promises of God. That's simply what it is. Believe in the promises of God. You don't believe them? Well, you don't have faith in what God says. But you believe it, you're on your way. Now, let's read it a little further more so we drill down a little further. In the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, I want to pick up some things here to, you know, substantiate my claim. The book of Mark, by the way, I'm using a physical Bible. I like to use the electronic from time to time, but lately, I find myself going towards the written word, the paper book. And so in Mark chapter 11 and verse 12, on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. So Jesus had gone somewhere. Don't worry about where it is. The point is he was going somewhere and he was hungry. That's what it says. That's the main thing you want to get out of it. Verse 12. He was hungry. And he saw this fig tree afar off. So he was walking down the street and he saw this fig tree. And it had leaves. He came if perhaps he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of fig was not yet. Did Jesus know that? Yes, he knew it. So what happened? Well, you find with that's an unusual crop where the fruit comes before the leaves. So by the time the leaves come, it should have been crop. There should have been fruit there. He was hungry. Yes, the God of heaven, he emptied out himself of all his godhood, and he was operating just like any ordinary man, but he was full of the Holy Ghost. Difference. Notice that now. That's why I keep saying we ought to be what? Full of the Holy Ghost, same way. So here it is now. He's walking and he finds this fig tree and there was none. And so he said, and Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit of you henceforth. And his disciples heard him. So he said, none of you are going to eat any more fruit. Nobody going to get any more fruit from that fig tree. Now why was he being so harsh with that fig tree? He was illustrating a point. Because the Bible refers to that as a curse. He cursed that fig tree. If he's not going to be able to provide more fruit down the road, then what good is it? It just needs to be cut down. And that's what he was pointing out. The same thing, by the way, for us. If we're not going to produce, well, why should he be bothered with us? You see the similarity? So what I'm saying now is that he made that statement. And so in verse 20, he says, in the morning, now the following morning after that, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now he told the tree before, nobody's going to eat any more fruit of you. 24 hours later, here he's passing by, and the tree is dried up. And so the disciples, you know, Peter calling to remember, it says in verse 21, said unto him, Master, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And verse 22 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, A mountain there represents any challenges you have. Whoever shall say unto this challenge or this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. When he's saying that, if he does not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things which he's saying. In other words, he know that God is going to answer him. And it shall come to pass, which we sh- he shall say, he shall, it shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he said. So the person now who is operating in faith, who makes such a pronouncement, is going to receive just like faith saying. Now, we're talking again, our theme is prosperity. And I want us to understand something. What he's pointing out here is that we need to practice then operating in faith. There are times when your back is against the wall and you need things. You can't find a way out. And you call out to the Lord and say, Lord, somehow make a way. And here it is, the other people who are listening. You may not know, but God has other people listening. And he says, well, I'm going to bless so-and-so. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to use you to bless them. And he does things like that. I am pointing out here, if the request, the person making the request does not have any doubt, if they have a covenant relationship with God, then he is going to do it. Because remember what he said earlier? My God, well, why do you say my God? Because you have a covenant relationship with him. So my God shall provide your needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Now, if you don't believe in Jesus, well, it doesn't apply to you. You're not going to get anything. Now, you're going to be just like everybody else. You just do it out. Or you're going to have to fight to get it or work real hard. But the provisions, the secret things, no, you will not hear about that because you won't know. You don't have that access. You have abandoned that or you haven't even learned about it so you can embrace it. Consequently, you're not going to receive that way. But for those who are in tune with the Lord, for those who have trusted him, and for those who recognize that he is their God, my God, I'll supply all those things. That's what Paul was saying in Philippians 4, verse 19. And that's what I'm trying to convey to you now. By faith, you and I can receive from the Lord. Now, folks, it's going to get even better because there's a whole lot more I want to point out to us. You know, the management and tithing opens windows before us. Do you ever stop to think about that, that God has opened up, having a whole arena where we can receive so much that we won't have room to store it? You know, folks, I'm broadcasting from where my father's house is in Jamaica. And one of the things that you hear, in fact, one of my brothers was talking about it, we get a lot of rain down here from time to time. And what we find is that sometimes the drums where the water is being caught, it just starts to run over. It just, you know, overflows. And my brother is saying, I wish we could store this. Well, that's, you know, good thinking. But I want us to understand something. It's the same way God is trying to point these things out to his people. And so he's saying that I can provide an avenue for you that things will run over. So how do you get that? All right, let's go back to the book of Malachi, the third chapter, starting with verse 6. We're going to break it down line by line. Verse 6. He says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Well, that's a very bold statement. He's saying, listen, I'm God. I don't change. What, in other words, I say what I mean and I mean what I say. I'm going to do things the way I want to do it, and he is God. Now, he's merciful, and he's loving, and he's kind. Praise God for that. But there's more to it. He says, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Well, what happened is that they didn't really pay attention like they should. But because he is merciful and loving, he didn't destroy them. You know, people today sometimes do things that are not right. But God doesn't destroy them. Yes, they may get a spanking. They may get some natural disaster causing trouble and so on. But for the most part, God doesn't destroy them. He gives them an opportunity so they can change, they can repent, and then they can start receiving. I'm praying that you are in that category. So verse 7 says, even from the days of your fathers, you were gone away from mine in ordinances. You find a lot of people, and from generation to generation, listen, the children comes and their daddy never used to pay attention to God. He just do whatever he want to do. Somehow thinking he got it together, live his life, have nothing to show for it. And you find that other kids come and then they, at maybe two or three generations later on, they realize, hey, wait a minute now. There is another way. Somebody come and tell them about these things, and all of a sudden they say, oh my Lord, you mean we could have been doing this all along? Yes, we could. Well, what is it? Let's read some more. Even from the days of your father, you were gone away from my ordinances, and I have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. There's the promise. What is it again? Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall you return? Notice now, there was something that they were missing and not doing. This is what it says. He says, will a man rob God? Will you go out there with a gun and try to say, stick him up? You know, it's to say that when we're little. Stick him up. And, you know, you point a gun at somebody and take stuff from them. Will you try that with God? Will you go to try to rob God? Yet you have robbed me. God is saying, the people are robbing him. Are you telling our country is robbing God? Yes, they are. Yes, but you say, wherein have you robbed me? And he answers quickly, in tithes and offerings. When you don't give God the tithe, when you don't give God the offering that you're supposed to, you're stealing from him. It's not going to be well with you. Yes, you can prosper in some things, but it's not going to go far. Do it the right way. And you're going to find that you're going to receive a lot from him. All right, let's press on a little more. By the way, I think I'm come on up to break this time. So I'm going to pause right here and open the floor for anyone who have any additional comment or question. You know, and at this point, we're going to open the floor, please. Go ahead. All right. Don't hear any comments, so let's press on. All right. Let's see. Continuing in verse 7. Is verse 8, rather. It says, in tithes and offerings. So that's how they're doing it. Verse 9. You're cursed with a curse because of this. There's a curse that has come upon you. Now, you remember we read earlier about the fig tree that was cursed? And how they end up, the fig tree actually ended up just being drying up the very next day. When people do things contrary to God, the curse starts immediately. Now, you may not see the result right that minute. Just like when they walk off, they didn't see the result right that minute, but it happened, just like Jesus said, didn't it? It's going to happen the same way when we go astray. So he says, even the whole nation is like that. What's the solution? Verse 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Did you hear what he just said? Bring the tithes into the storehouse. In other words, to the church of God, wherever he has called you to be. That's where you bring your tithe. And he says, by so doing, you're testing him. And he says, prove me. In other words, he's God, but he don't want you to follow him blindly. So he says, prove me and see if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and open unto you of, let's go ahead and read it direct. If I will not open unto you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You remember I was talking about the water a while ago? The water is running over. There's not enough room to hold the rest. The blessing is going to flow over like the same manner. And it's going to just come on, and you're going to have more than enough. You can give some away, and you still have more. My wife and I have been tithers for years. When we first discovered this, I decided I was going to put it to the test. And immediately, God started answering me. I remember just as clear as ever, $137.38. That was all my tithe for 1 month. The following month, I got a little over $3,000. Some folks had owed me some money for years, wouldn't pay, they pay quickly. Oh, yes, you better believe I give a tithe from it too. And it went on like that, really, I mean, increasing, increasing, increasing for several months. Every month it was there was more. I am saying to you, put him to the test. Put God to the test. He doesn't want you to follow him blindly. He said, prove me. What are you going to prove him in by doing? Giving your tithe to the pastor or the work of God that God has called you to. It is that simple. And then God is going to send his angels now and they're going to start work on your behalf. Let's press on a little further and read some more because there's just so much here I get a little beside myself. But listen to what it's saying here. And let me see. There was another verse. I will rebuke the devourer. Now that's something else folks don't understand. You remember the children of Israel? They walked around. They didn't always act right, but they didn't, you know, they walked in the wilderness and they didn't always behave themselves. But God, he didn't change his mind, you know, mind regarding them. He allowed their clothes to remain for 40 years. They didn't have to go to Walmart or any mart whatsoever to go buy any more new clothes. They didn't buy no new shoes. And their shoes did not wear out for 40 years. He can do things like that. He can make your vehicle last much longer than you imagine, and it works. He can make things work to the favor where people start to grant you favor and give you things that you didn't expect before. He had a lot of ways. I stopped trying to figure him out. I'm just telling you that it worked, and I'm encouraging you to put it to the test if you haven't started. For those who have already started, praise the Lord. Continue to do so. And he says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. You know what is the devourer? It's an agricultural language. When they used to plant crops, we call them grasshoppers over here. They would call them locusts over in the Middle East. And they would come and just eat up the crops, eat off the leaves, and so the plant die. It doesn't produce much. Well, they were called devourers because they eat up so much. Well, he says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. For your sake. And you shall not, he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast or fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All nations shall call you blessed. Everybody's going to start to notice that you have a little edge over everybody else. Why? They could see it. God is going to slowly elevate you. No, he's going to put your eye up first, but he's going to slowly elevate you and they're going to see it. All nations are going to call you blessed. That is the promise. Now, folks, I want to go ahead, it's too long tonight because you can study this on your own, but I'm giving you enough information so that you begin to see how God operates and set in motion certain things so that you then can start receiving from the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter, 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I think my notes. I didn't write this properly in my notes, but it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He's speaking, and this was happening, folks. Imagine now, here it is, there are people in the church of God in Jerusalem, and there turned out to be a famine in that area. You know what that means? That means nothing is going to grow well. And so there's a shortage of food. Well, they got a lot of people in the church. What are we going to do? Well, people in another church area heard about it, And God stirred them up, and they decided to provide food for these people. So Paul is writing about it, and he says, for touching the ministering unto the saints. That's what he's talking about. You're going to send stuff to them, and that is referred to as ministering to them. And so he's saying, I know the forwardness of your mind. In other words, how bold you are, and you're willing to do these things. Because when he was in Macedonia, you did the same. And so now here it is, he's going to do it for these people again. So he says, I'm sending some people before to let you know that I will be coming later on. And when I come, then I collect whatever it is you provided, and I'm going to take it to the brethren in the area where they are lacking, right? All right, let's press on. Verse 5, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you. So that's what he said, he's going to send them there, all right? And he says, the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, not as covetousness. So the point is this, you're going to be willing to give generously and not covetously. In other words, not giving and say, well, if God's not going to give me this, I'm not. No, you must have a attitude of wanting to give. All right, press on. Verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly reaps sparingly. Now this is just plain common sense, but this is a deeper understanding here because this is in a spirit realm. The person who plants a few grains, they're not going to reap as much as the one who plants as much, you know, a lot of grain. That's just common sense. But here it is now, God is saying, no, he is behind this all also, so there's going to be another extent to it. You know, I was talking to a young man this morning, I was explaining that God is a multiplier. Everything for God is multiplied. Have you ever thought about it from that viewpoint? You plant one grain of corn, and that corn grew up into a little tree, and it grows, a hair of corn. You don't get one grain from that hair of corn. No, it's a whole leaf that's on it. In fact, one of these days, I might just try to count it and see how many grains of corn they have in it. But the point is that it's a whole lot. It multiplies. That one grain gives you all that. Now, you plant hundreds of grains of corn, then imagine how much corn you're going to reap. You get the idea? So the point is it's multiplied. But here it is now. He's saying, but he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, there's a spiritual dimension I'm trying to point out, so don't lose sight of this now. We understand the physical, but don't lose sight of the spiritual. Because God's going to do more things in the spirit realm. In other words, he has angels doing things over there for you. No, you're not lucky, you're blessed. That's what he's doing. So let's read on verse 7. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And notice what he's promising now. In fact, I might just go ahead and close with this. I want you to notice in verse 9. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. I'm going to read more, but I want you to pause right here. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. In other words, he's able to make things starting to flow in such a bountiful way that you're going to start to have far more than you had before. All right, so let's read on. He's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency. He's guaranteeing something else here. What is he going to always have? All sufficiency. What does that mean? You're sufficient, you have sufficient, that means you have it. You have enough. But all the time, that's what he's saying here, all ways, having all sufficiency. Continue, press on. In all things, may abound to every good work. In everything that you start to touch on your hand, he's going to arrange it in such a way that you're going to start to do well. What a promise. What a blessing. Let's read a little more. Boy, I get now excited about this. As it is written, he that disperse abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. In other words, God starts to make a note of it. And he said, that person, they were given when they had little. I'm going to make sure I send the angel. Angel number one, angel number two, whatever he called their name. He sent those angels out to start to look out for you and start to make a door for you. But let's read a little more because I want you to see something else. Now he that ministers seed to the sower. Notice that now. He's making a statement, folks. I want you, please don't miss this. Listen to this again. Let's read verse 10 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. He says, the one who ministers, meaning he gives seed to the sower. What is the sower? The one who is generous to give. When he gives you, he's going to make sure now he's going to do several things. One is that he's going to start to provide food for you, the food that you need, your provision. And in addition, he's going to multiply the seed that you sow. In other words, you start to reap a lot more. Remember, I explained how the multiplication factor is a while ago. So you're going to start to receive that and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth you to us thanksgiving to God. In other words, he says he's going to give you so much that you're going to be end up, you can't help but being thankful and say, oh man, bless the Lord. Look how he's been blessing me. He's been blessing us immensely. We at Covenant Church of God have received the blessings of the Lord. We are a very small group, but God allows us to go to pull a big punch. We do a lot. And we are willing to follow his lead. And I am telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that God is more than willing to bless you so that you can receive the things that you need. That's what he was saying earlier. He's going to supply all your need. Philippians rather, chapter 4, verse 19. And so we need to practice then, ladies and gentlemen, paying attention to the teachings that God has. It's hidden in his word. Most people don't know it. But it is there for those who are willing to diligently seek him. And you're going to find that God is going to bless you immensely. Now, folks, I could go on and on because there's a whole lot more, you know, and with regards to receiving from the Lord and so on. But I just wanted to go ahead and let you know that God has given these promises. He has really guaranteed that he's going to do these things. And if we are willing, we'll receive. Like Abraham, he can be our Jehovah Jireh also. No. He's not going to force you to do it. You have to voluntarily choose to go in that direction. Just want to mention, and we'll talk about this in the next segment because it dovetails into it. But, you know, part of the challenge that most people miss is that God expects us to develop holiness. Yeah, that is a challenge for some people. And as a result, it blinds their eyes to the basic things of God, and therefore they can't receive. But we're going to talk more about that, because that needs to be developed. But I just want you to understand that a holiness will help us to stay focused on God, and without holiness, no man shall see the things of God. So you're going to begin to see, ladies and gentlemen, that they are really ordained ways to receive from the Lord. But I just want to stress this, ladies and gentlemen. God wants to be our provider. Every one of us. He has been providing for my wife and my family. The kids are grown now, but he still continues to provide. And he's providing now more than when they were growing up. And I'm telling you, anybody, young or old, who is willing to put him to the test, he's more than willing to help them and help direct your path so that you can also receive from him. So I'm going to open the floor now, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me tonight in this study. and we will talk with you next time. So let me go ahead and open the floor. And Brother Justin, when you finish, please, can you close with prayer? Thank you.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this Sabbath, Heavenly Father's rest day, helping us to understand that you are the tree of life and you are the one who provides us for all things that our heart desire, especially the good things. And I just pray and ask that you help us to understand that you are the provider, you are the healer, you are everything that we need, and we shouldn't too much search things too deeply in the world, but more so keep all our eyes and attention on you. So I just want to give thanks for you being our provider and our healer, and I just pray and ask that we all muster the courage and the discipline to be able to seek for your kingdom and your righteousness with all our heart and with all our strength. As we rest on this Sabbath day, I pray that you acknowledge us to keep numbering our days and to plan wisely, Heavenly Father, as we move forward on this prudent pathway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.